One big employment report and a lot of anxious waiting around the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Today, we're expecting the Labor Department's November employment report, looking at how many U.S. jobs were added or lost and the nation's unemployment rate. And while we're waiting for the report here at home, Europeans are also keeping a close eye. Reporter Christopher Worth is with us from London with the latest. Morning, Christopher.
Good morning, Steve.
So why are European investors so interested in the American jobs report?
European markets have had a good bounce over the last couple of days, despite some pretty negative news around the Irish bailout and the European debt crisis. But analysts are expecting the U.S. jobs report to be pretty good. And this morning I spoke with Angus Campbell. He's with London Capital Group, and he explained why.
The U.S. being the biggest economy in the world, it's always something that the European markets focus on. If jobs are being created in the U.S., then their consumers will be buying lots of products from around the world.
So the U.S. as the consumer of last resort, despite the slowdown, that's not going away?
No. You know, we've heard a lot about how the U.S.'s position is weakening, you know, declining importance in the dollar and all of that. But Angus says European markets always look forward to the first Friday of the month as U.S. non-farm payroll day.
U.S. non-farm payroll. Maybe a new international holiday, Chris?
Happy U.S. non-farm payroll day, Steve.
To you as well. Christopher Worth reporting from London. Chris, thanks.
Hey, thanks.
And European markets are pretty tepid, as we said. Investors are waiting that employment report. Global stocks are mixed at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 106 points to end the day at 11,362. Markets up about 1% yesterday. There's a report out from the International Monetary Fund on real estate prices in China. It says the housing markets in large Chinese cities are becoming more and more disconnected from reality. As a matter of fact, some home prices in Shanghai and Beijing are on par with lofts in Manhattan. We've already seen what a U.S. housing bubble does to the global economy, but what about a Chinese bubble? Here's Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
First of all, let's get this straight. If there is a bubble in China, it hasn't yet burst. In fact, much of the IMF report actually says China's in good shape, but the IMF's crystal ball has been cloudy in the past. So let's assume China's property market is in trouble, like some economists say. If there's any impact on the U.S., says economist Michael Pettis, it'll start with China's real estate developers.
You've heard all the cliches about half of the building cranes in the world are in China and stuff like that. I don't know how true that is, but certainly real estate development has been a huge generator of growth in China.
Pettis says a property downturn in China might mean all those cranes would disappear from the skylines of cities across the country.
If it has a big impact on real estate development, then it would have an impact on commodity prices.
In other words, shipments of building materials would slow. Less demand would mean the prices of copper, steel, aluminum, you name it, would tank. And surprise, that would actually be great for the U.S. Cheaper building materials equals better business. Pettis says it'd be like a big tax cut. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Obama is expected to sign a $4.5 billion child nutrition bill that passed the U.S. House yesterday, part of First Lady Michelle Obama's campaign against childhood obesity. And this morning, we're going to talk about obesity as part of the Marketplace Globalist Quiz. And Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. He's with us right now. Morning, Stefan.
Good morning. So I take it you're ready for today's quiz.
I am ready. Give it to me.
Which of these countries has the highest obesity rate? The United States, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, or Russia? A nice global spread.
Let's see. All right, so there's some great food in Mexico. But wow, the United States is home to fast food. Lots and lots of fast. I'm going to say the United States.
Yes, you are right. The United States leads the way. 46.3% of its population is considered obese.
Wow. That's 46%.
46%. And you know what's worse? There's a regional cluster here. You talked about Mexican food.
Yeah.
Mexico's number three behind Argentina, which is in number two. So that's the wrong kind of sense for the Western Hemisphere to lead the way globally.
How much higher, Stefan, is the obesity rate in the United States than the other countries, the number two, three, and you know the rest of them?
Number two and three are close together. And in fact, of the 20 G20 nations, three are over 30%. That's the U.S., Argentina, and Mexico. The club remains quite obese because seven of them are over 25% obese. Number four is Saudi Arabia, which I'd offered up, Australia, Canada, and the UK. Again, there's a little bit of a worrisome pattern because all of these four countries are great United States allies on foreign policy matters. So I hope nobody starts talking about an alliance of the obese and willing.
maybe some more calisthenics for them.
Yes, sport in high schools
that's
and
right.
everywhere, and less Coca-Cola and less snack food. People just can't resist this good stuff coming.
All right. Well, duly noted, Stefan Richter from The Globalist. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and stay slim.
We will try, Stefan Richter. For more insights, check out theglobalist.com. And finally, Yahoo's come out with this list of the top five search terms of 2010, which curiously is still 4 weeks from being over. Starting with number five, Lady Gaga, who made headlines with her outfit made of meat at the MTV Video Music Awards. Then there was Kim Kardashian and Miley Cyrus with soccer's World Cup coming in at number two. The top Yahoo search item for 2010? The BP oil disaster. A lot of people, Yahoo said, were transfixed by that underwater spill cam. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Grab the podcast while you're there and share your thoughts with us, too. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The economy's not quite better, but still, Black Friday sales were pretty good, and toys? Crazy, even for grown-ups.
I'll go and visit with executives of a major American corporation or with politicians. They remember, to a person, the toys they played with and the influence they had on them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, a conversation from the Toys R Us corner office next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.